If you could make your way back to your seats, that would be great. Thank you. You can catch up with that conversation straight after the service this morning in the cafe at Hospitality Time. Welcome to our online community today. Great to have you joining us. Why don't you give our online community a big hand this morning? Great to have them as a part of what we're doing today. Well, today we're very honoured to have Pastor Jonathan DeVolta with us today, all the way from the Philippines. I'm just looking to see where he is. He's escaped the room for just a moment, so I'm going to keep talking until he comes back in the room because I'm actually going to make him come to stage and give a greeting, because every time we go to the Philippines, you can't sit in a service without doing something. So I told him I might ask him to preach this morning. I think that's why he's disappeared. I'm not quite sure what he's doing, but Jonathan, wherefore art thou? Here he comes. Give him a big hand as he comes to stage. Now, let me introduce Jonathan for those that aren't aware. Jonathan pastors a church in the Philippines, in Umingan, and in a roundabout kind of way, there's a few people in our room that have had an ongoing relationship with Jonathan, his family, his mum and dad, and the ministry that they established in Umingan. And we as a church over the last 12, 18 months have connected and loved on and supported their family with what they do. And so Jonathan kind of just jumped on a plane and turned up yesterday for a few days on a special mission to come to Australia to see some of his friends. And so we couldn't not take the opportunity to hand him the microphone and ask him to minister to us this morning. So I'm going to ask him to preach today, because this is what he does to me when I go to the Philippines. And so he's panicking right now. I'm not even looking at him. I know what he's doing. I know what he's feeling on the inside. I'm going to ask him just to bring a greeting, is what I'm going to do. Good on you, Pastor Jonathan.
Thank you. G'day. G'day. Oh, it's what an honor to be here. And, you know, it's been it's almost been a year since we came here together with my family. And what a warm welcome you have given me. Thank you, Pastor, for having me here, and also to the leadership of Impact Church. And I'm really looking forward of building even more closer relationship with you guys. And I'm looking forward of years and years of working with you, and for one thing only, for the glory of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. And again, from the Philippines, from my church, Full Gospel Worship Center, I'm bringing and sending, we are sending our love to you guys, and we love you, and thank you for having me. Thank you.
Good deal. Good on you, my friend. Good on you, Pastor Jonathan. Why don't you make your way back to your seat and behave yourself? Just right down there. He's no doubt some of Pastor Jonathan's friends and church are online right now. So I wanted them to see you, Jonathan, just so they knew you made it here all the way to Queensland. And nice to have you with us this morning. You would have noticed on church news that we promoted the next Logan City Collective gathering for prayer, which is on in a few weeks' time. We had one of them just recently, I think. Was it this? I don't know whether it was this week or not. It's all a blur to me. I think it was this week. We gathered at a Uniting Church here in Springwood, and we had an amazing time of prayer for those that came. And I want to ask you, or just remind you, get the next one in your diary, because if we're going to do this thing, we're going to do this thing. If you're going to do it, you do it, is my philosophy. And so when we host and we join with the inner church prayer meetings, I want a good representation from our church. I want to look around the room and I want to see more of your faces than anyone else's, is what I want to see. It's not that I don't want to see other faces. I just want to encourage every other pastor in the city to do the same thing. I'm not interested in getting together with a bunch of pastors and praying. I can do that anytime. I want to get together with people and do that, and people from other churches, but I want our church there. And so thankful for the 20 or so that were there. I think we were half the crew that were there on the night, and we want to invite you to come along. So it's at Park Ridge Baptist Church. Let's stir up those Baptists. Let's do that, okay? Any ex-Baptists in the room? Come on. I'm an ex-Baptist. I love the Baptists, but God knows they need the Holy Spirit. And so, this is Pentecost Sunday. Let's get real. And so we want to take a little bit of what's in you and, share it with them on the night. Not that you misbehave when you go, because just behave yourself. And we go and we pray and we just join with the wider expression of the church. Who thinks that's a good deal? I absolutely do. And I'd love to have you along for that moment with us in a few weeks' time. My name's Tony, by the way, for those that don't know me. I've been away for, I think, only 1 week, but it's felt like I've been out of the pulpit for 5 weeks. I think it's 4 weeks since I've preached, which is, what a marathon for me not to be in the pulpit preaching. So I kind of feel like I'm reintroducing myself to my church and just, hello, I'm Tony. Apparently I do work here, and I do some things around the place. So thankful for the team that have just been ministering and doing everything. We had a few guests over the last few weeks. You had Pastor Mark. Did you enjoy Pastor Mark a few weeks ago? He was outstanding. Then we had the Pastor Ian McCormack, I call him the jellyfish preacher. It's probably not really appropriate to do that, but it's because he was stung by, I thought it was about 15, but it was 5, Irukandji jellyfish, which it takes one to kill you. So 5 is like, yeah, he was amazing. We had a great weekend with him, and then our very own Pastor Marichelle did for a few weekends. So, yeah, right up there, top of the tree. So all good. So today we're going to finish and conclude, bring to a conclusion our conversation called What Now? What Now? Which is, what now is, you know, it goes all the way back to Easter for us. When Jesus was, and we celebrate that moment when Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross and then rose again. And what we tried to do was put ourselves in the footsteps, in the footprints, in the mindsets and the perspective of the disciples, because we have the advantage, as we've been saying, we have the advantage of being able to look back on history in the Bible and read of these events. It's one thing to read of the event, but to be the person that lived the story, to be the person that's in the moment and physically saw Jesus nailed to the cross, when you'd invested all of your hope in him, all of your trust in him, you'd invested 3 years of your life with him, you'd sat with him, he'd taught you, you shared meals, you'd given up your career, you'd followed him, and you were prepared to lay down your life for him, all of a sudden he's dead. What now? Everyone say, what now? What do you do? What do you do? And then not only does he die, he comes back to life again. He resurrects. And they get really excited because now they're thinking he's going to set up his physical kingdom in Jerusalem like he taught us about. And not only is he going to set up his kingdom, we're going to be a part of the leadership team. We're going to be like princes all throughout Jerusalem and take up our positions of authority as the key team, the key men that God has appointed. But Jesus didn't hang around for long. We know that he ascended back into heaven. And once again, they're left standing there going, what now? Everyone say, what now? I don't know whether you've ever had a what now moment, but I've had a few. What now moments? What the heck moments? You had a few of those? Like, what the heck? What am I going to do now? I call them transition moments. Transition moments are the most challenging and difficult moments that you will ever experience in life. We all have them. Some of them are uninvited. They just turn up. They come. They find our address. They call us on a certain day. It happens. It's like day one when you go to school and your parents have told you you're going to go to school. So you go to school and you come home, you've done day one, you go, what now? I've done that. I've been to school. And to realize you've got another, like, yeah, lots of years of that. And then possibly university. So the first one's day one of school. The next one's probably around about puberty. What now? What's going on? Why is my voice doing this? And or a boy meets a girl. What now? What now? Or a girl meets a boy. What now? And then a girl breaks a boy's heart. We won't go the other way. We'll just stick with that. The girl breaks your heart, your achy, breaky heart. And you'd given her your heart, and she just stomped all over it and hooked up with some other guy. And that's grade three. It happens. You get a job. You lose a job. You start a career. They sack you. It changes. Transition. It happens. You get old. What now? What now? We're asking ourselves this question a lot throughout life. You have children. It'll be fun, they said. What now? You retire. What now? You're almost retired. Almost expired. What now? I'm asking myself that question. What now? You get a disease, a sickness, an illness that may lead to death. What now? You go through a relationship disruption. What now? All of these what now moments happen. And this is what the disciples were experiencing. We experience it in all kinds of fields. They experienced it when they walked and talked with Jesus, and all of a sudden he wasn't there. And the faith community that had gathered around Jesus, they were in a transition moment from being this little group of people that were about to be formed to become the church. And in that dark space, something very significant and something very special was going to be birthed. Something that would take place that would accelerate the growth, accelerate the expression of everything that Jesus represented and wanted to build. Where Jesus wanted just to breathe on this group of people and see them expand throughout the world and gather like we're gathering as communities of faith that would be there as a light to every city. Every city would have a representation. Every people group would have a representation. Every tongue would have a representation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Jesus answered their what now question, and he was answering it while he was with them in this gap of 50 days from when he resurrected to when the day of Pentecost came in Acts chapter 2. He taught them over that period of time about two key thoughts. He spoke about the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit. They were the two points of his conversation because he wanted them to understand what the kingdom of God was, what it would look like, how it would work, how it would function. And then he wanted them to know how it would be empowered, how they would become who they were meant to become, how their lives would be filled with purpose and the power of God literally. And he wanted them to know that there was another coming who was just like him, called the Holy Spirit, that would be there for them, that would be there from heaven to make them powerful witnesses here on earth. That was everything that Jesus taught them over this time. He said these kinds of things. He said, even though I'm going away, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not deserting you. Don't worry. I'm going, but there's another one that is coming who is just like me. And so we started looking at this about 6 or 7 weeks ago, just after Easter, and we broke down some thoughts about the Holy Spirit. And I love doing this because this is probably one of my favorite, I guess if you call it a topic, topics to talk about as a pastor. I've been doing it for about 35 years, teaching people about the Holy Spirit. And every year I take just a special little segment, be it a month or 3 weeks or whatever it might be, to practically talk about the Holy Spirit, because I feel like the Holy Spirit is so often misunderstood, misrepresented, and a lot of Christians are misguided when it comes to their understanding around the Holy Spirit. Has anyone in the room had a bit of a challenge understanding the Holy Spirit over the years? You can put your hand up now if that's you. There's a few in the room, and there's a whole lot of liars. Because I think we all have, like, I grew up in, I started my journey in the Baptist church, and thank God for the Baptist. I love the Baptist. I grew up in that for a little while, and then God promoted me and my family, and we attended this church called a Pentecostal church. I didn't even know what the word meant. Pentecostal. It took me quite some years to work out exactly what that word actually related to. And I grew up in a church that was, let's just say there was a lot of activity that happened in that church that was not what you might consider normal. In terms of, there were beautiful expressions of worship. And I don't mock them at all. I think they were beautiful expressions of worship for the most part. For a small minority of it, it was weird. And there is a small minority of the Christian church that's weird. Can we just put that out there? I'm not going to say where it is, but you know it when you know it. When you see it, you see it. And for me, weird is when it's not represented in the Word of God, and it comes down to somebody's humanness and the expression of how they like to express their worship. That's when it gets a bit fanciful and a bit weird for me. But the Holy Spirit is not weird. He is very, very practical. And this is why I want to develop a greater understanding and awareness of the person of the Holy Spirit, who He is, how we relate to Him, how He belongs to us, and how He empowers our life. And so we started talking about the Holy Spirit being literally the invisible presence of God. And don't get scared by this word, invisible. Invisible. We talked about this in week one. Very important we keep layering it, because I want people to capture it. Don't be concerned about invisible. There are a lot of invisible things that you believe in, that you cooperate with, that you work with every day. Yet for some reason, the moment we associate invisible with the presence of God, people think, well, that just doesn't add up. If I can't see it, I'm not going to believe it. There are a lot of things that you can't see that you actually believe. You believe it. You believe in sound waves. You believe in communication with radio signals, mobile phones. You believe in that. You cooperate with that daily. And yet for some reason, people struggle with God, the Holy Spirit, being invisible. The Bible says that God is spirit. So we established this point on week one. In John 14, Jesus said this, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate, a counselor, a helper, to help you and to be with you. Would you say this word for me? Forever. Would you say it with some passion? Forever. Be with you forever. Not for a few years. He will be with you forever. He will be your forever advocate. He will be your forever God. He will be your forever present one. He is even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you. And notice this, and He will be in you. He will be in you. Jesus is hinting about the Holy Spirit coming to live within them. We then looked at Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit being our helper. I just want to reiterate, the Holy Spirit is here to help you. To help you. He helps us in very practical ways in every aspect of our life. He's here for you. He's not against you. He's not waiting for you to mess up. He's not waiting for you to goof up. He's not waiting for you to fall over. He's not your condemner. He's not the fun police. He's here by your side to strengthen and support and encourage you. I need that sort of friend in my life, don't you? That's the kind of help I need. I don't need people there shining stuff on all my dirt. I need people there shining the path and the light and the direction for where I need to go. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But there's a whole lot of people that live in fear of the Holy Spirit because they don't understand why He's here and what He's actually called to do and function for us. He's our helper. We looked at the fact that He is the Spirit of truth for us. Jesus said He will guide us. He will direct us into all truth. Into God's truth. We then looked at the fact that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He will teach us what we need to know. He will teach us things that will help us to grow. He'll deal with our blind spots. He'll deal with the things that we don't see. He will speak to us clearly about that. He will help us with our insecurities, our vulnerabilities. He works on our nature, our attitudes, our behavior. He'll deal with our selfishness. He'll deal with our jealousy, our strife, our anger, and our pride. All of that's a good deal, isn't it? The Holy Spirit helping us with all of those. And then lastly, we looked at the Holy Spirit is our reminder. He reminds us of all things that Jesus taught us in the Word of God. And we pick it up through sermons. We pick it up through Bible study and our devotions. The Holy Spirit brings it to remembrance at key times when we need it. And then this point I want to highlight, Pastor Marichal spoke about this point, how the Holy Spirit is our GPS. Now, it doesn't actually say that in the Bible, but I love the thought. He's our GPS. He's our global positioning system. In other words, he gets us where he wants us. He gets us where God wants us. He shows us the path. He shows us the plan. And he helps us to stick to the plan and to follow the path. And so, church, I say all that just to remind you that the Holy Spirit is your friend. He's your friend. He's someone to welcome in your world. He's someone to open up your life to, your home to, your house to, your mind to, your future to, your present to, your past, everything. The Holy Spirit wants to come and just layer over every aspect of our life. But today, I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit is our empowerer. The Holy Spirit is our empowerer. And this was the key truth that Jesus wanted the disciples to understand, that he was going away and that the new one was coming who would empower them to be the church. Now, not only does the scriptures teach that we are born into God's kingdom of and by the Holy Spirit, but it also teaches that we're baptized in and with the Holy Spirit. We're baptized in and with or by the Holy Spirit. Do you know in the New Testament, it was normal for believers to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was normal for believers to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. It didn't become unusual. It didn't become abnormal. It didn't become questionable until man got involved in it. When man meddles with God's truth, it always gets confused. Jesus said this, you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. And that's why I teach and preach like I do on this topic and try and break it down so that everyone can understand the reality of who the person of the Holy Spirit is, because I think many men have confused heads, confused minds, and really, a lot of Christians are living challenged about their relationship with the Holy Spirit, and particularly the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and particularly speaking in tongues and what that is all about. All I know is this, is in the New Testament, it was normal. And if it was normal in the New Testament, I want it today. If it was normal in the New Testament, I want it today. Paul, to give you an example, he traveled to Ephesus. When he went to Ephesus, he found some believers and he asked them this question. He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. In other words, we believe, but we haven't heard that there is a Holy Spirit. What do you mean by Holy Spirit? And then he says, well, what baptism did you experience? And they replied, the baptism of John. In other words, they were followers of John the Baptist. They received his teaching and his truth. And so Paul says, okay, guys, John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. And as soon as they heard this, no argument, no opinion sharing, none of this, but John said this, and they just said, as soon as they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in other tongues and they prophesied. They spoke in other tongues and they prophesied. Can I make this comment about speaking in tongues? Because I use that terminology and sometimes people sit in church and go, what do you mean speaking in tongues? What's that? It simply means speaking in a language that's unknown to you. Speaking in a language that's unknown to you. Some people make a lot of the fact that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, that when the disciples spoke in tongues, that it was a language that others around the city understood. And that's true. Because what happened on the day of Pentecost was, Pentecost was actually a gathering for a celebration of a festival that the children of Israel would celebrate. And they traveled from many other spaces and places and nations and towns and cities to come to Jerusalem at that time. And they're camped everywhere throughout the city. And there's people there that that spoke other languages, but they come to celebrate because they were Israelites. And so they came to celebrate this festival, the festival of weeks, the festival of Pentecost. And it just happened to coincide that that was the same time that heaven had decided that the Holy Spirit would be poured out. And when the Holy Spirit was poured out, we're going to look at it in a few moments, they began to speak in other tongues. And the people that spoke another language, they heard the glory of God in a way and a language that they could understand. It was a literal language for them to hear. And so we have groups of people today that teach if you speak in tongues, it must be a literal language. But here we've just read where Paul prayed for the believers at Ephesus, and it just said they received the Holy Spirit and they spoke in other tongues. There was no one there to hear it in their language. It was just them. It was the speaking of another language. All I know is this. When it comes to speaking in tongues is a consequence of being filled with the presence of God and being filled with the person of God and being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's something electrifying that happens in your whole makeup when God comes and fills you. And my best analogy for this is electricity. I don't know whether you've ever been electrocuted, but I don't recommend it. I remember being electrocuted when I was young and I was naive, which wasn't long ago. And I was fixing a washing machine. This is before we were going to go to Bible college. I had filled out our application to go to Bible college. And for 2 years, I sat on it and put it in a drawer and forgot about it. I had a friend that had been to college and was home on furlough. He happened to be an electrician. And I was fixing the washing machine because I was newly married and I just thought I knew everything. And so I'm fixing the washing machine. I'm turning the power off at the wall, Brad. I didn't unplug it. I just turned it off, you know. Stuck the screwdriver in, played it with a few things. Turned the power back on, still wasn't going. Turned the power back off, stuck the screwdriver in again. Turned the power back on, stuck the screwdriver in again. And shook hands with that washing machine for, what seemed like about 10 minutes, but it was probably about 1/1000th of a second. And I've got to tell you, a few things came out of my mouth. There was a little bit of language that was unknown that came out. A bit of strange tongue. You ever use a bit of strange tongue? Come on, I know you have. And it came out of me because of what came into me. Did you hear that? It came out of me because of what came into me. Now, if I was allowed to, but apparently it's not appropriate to do this today, I could take the PowerPoint over there and take the PowerPoint off and expose some wires, and I could get Pastor Jonathan, I could get him over there and get him to put his tongue on it. And he wouldn't speak Tagalog, his native language. He'd speak a whole lot of languages, and he'd be fully lit. He'd be full. Just on that, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says there was like tongues of fire that came upon everybody's head in the room. He'd be fully lit. And there'd be a language that would come out of him. Don't make it all about the language. The language is just the consequence. The promise is the filling of the Holy Spirit. The promise is the filling of God. I don't want just the language. I want God. I want to be full of God. I want His presence in me. The language is consequential. It just happens. It just comes. It's natural. It's normal for that to happen. It's normal for that to take place. Where am I up to? I'm all over the place. John the Baptist predicted that Jesus would be the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 3, he talks about, I baptize with water. This is John the Baptist. He's going, look, I baptize people with water to turn away from their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming who is far greater than I, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with what?
Fire.
The Holy Spirit and with fire, this symbol of God, this thing of purity, this thing of heat, this electric presence that would come to make you a light unto the world. This was the promise that Jesus had shared with the disciples. This is what he said. This is what he spoke of when he was in this transition moment between him going back to heaven and him sending the Holy Spirit. He says to them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends what he promised. In other words, wait for the promise. And remember, I've told you about this before. I've told you about this before. There's a promise coming. And he said, this is what I told you. I told you John would baptize you with water, but in just a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They really didn't know what that looked like. They really didn't know what that would feel like. They really didn't know what that moment would bring. All they knew was it was a gift, and it was a baptism in the Holy Spirit. But he says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power. Everyone say power. You'll receive power and tell people about me everywhere. Why will you receive the power? To tell people about me. There's a purpose to the power. The power is not to light you up and make you look good. The power is not to make you feel better than anyone else. It's more special, more anointed, more gifted, more talented. It's none of that at all. The power is simply so that you can be empowered to be a bold witness for me. That might not be verbally, that might be visually. Whatever it is, it'll be vibrant. I love the analogy of fire. Who loves fire? I love fire. I love things that burn. When I see a fire, it's like, oh, look, a fire. And it's men love fires. That's why we do bonfires for courageous men. And we just love things that burn. There's something attractive about it. There's something attractive about a church that's on fire. Not literally, but on fire. That there's some heat in the place. There's some light in the place. There's some life in the place. I don't want to go to a church service like a funeral. I go to funerals when I have to go to funerals. I want to go to a place that's life-giving. I want a life-giving spirit. The Bible says that Jesus is a life-giving spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the same as him. The Holy Spirit is a life-giving spirit. He'll add life to you. You'll not be lifeless and listless. You'll be fully lit when the Holy Spirit is upon you. And you'll be empowered to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know whether I've got the personality to be a witness. I don't know whether I've got the gift to be a witness. I don't like talking to people. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus spoke it to every one of them. He didn't say, oh, it's only for UA personalities and whatnot that are going to have that power. No, it's for everybody. The shyest, the weakest, the most insecure, the rejected, the whatever it might be, those that feel unnoticed, those that feel not important, those that feel not valued, you're going to receive power and fire from God, the presence of God in you, on you, working through you. That's the promise of the scriptures. See, it's not about you, it's about him. It's not about you, it's not about me. It's not about your past, not about your present, it's about him. And I think what the church needs today, what we need today, what I need today, what you need today, is we need a little bit of dose of what Jesus promised the disciples about the coming of the Holy Spirit. So the disciples, get this, here they are. They're in this upper room. They're waiting. They're gathered. Peter preaches a sermon, tells them a few things that he knows about heaven. And the Bible says they continuously gathered for prayer. So they weren't just waiting, like sitting around playing cards or telling jokes or whatever. They may have done that, but they were there to pray. They were there to seek God. And this is the key to receiving the Holy Spirit, because I've had people ask me over the years, how do I receive the Holy Spirit? And I grew up in church thinking it happened in church services like this. I grew up thinking it happened when an evangelist came to church and preached and people come down the front and would stand over them and a hand reached out and touch them on the head and go, fire! And I'd look around. I'd go, what are we going to lead the building? And shout really loud and then use this unknown language and then maybe have some people say, you know, just say after me, pee, 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 pee. And they go, pee, pee, pee. You got it. What have they got? They got nothing. All they got was pee, 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 pee. You don't have to repeat something you hear someone else parrot. You don't have to parrot what someone else is saying. It's about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's about being hungry for the Holy Spirit. They were hungry for this gift. They wanted this gift. They didn't quite know what this gift was going to look like. And here's the exciting thing to me. Where am I? I think I've gone too far. Sorry, Jen. If you could take me back to Acts chapter 2, verse 2. It says, suddenly. Everyone say suddenly. So they've been around, they've been praying for a few days. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit came into the room. Something shifted. There was the sound of a rushing, mighty wind, is what the Bible says. You know, the symbolism of the Holy Spirit, he symbolizes wind and fire and a dove. Peaceful, the wind speaks of power, and the fire speaks of purity. And it says that he came into the room, or that came into the room. The sound of a rushing, mighty wind. Imagine being in that room. I mean, I've been in some prayer meetings, but I've never been in a prayer meeting where there was a lot of wind. Like that. Anyway. I've heard a lot of long-winded prayers. I've heard like, oh, Jesus, please just take us all to heaven right now. Please. But a rushing, I want to be in that room. That's not a story I want to hear someone else tell. I really want to be in that room when the rushing mighty wind happens. So I thought about that today. I thought, how could I get wind into this room? Could I get a wind blower up there somewhere? Just wouldn't that be powerful? Imagine telling the story if you were one of the disciples. Hey, we were in this room. It was weird. We'd been praying for days. Peter preached and then we sat down. And all of a sudden, there was this wind that came from nowhere. It just blew the windows open. Yeah, you should have seen Philip. It blew the hair off his head. So funny. But not only that, there were flames. I looked over at Lloyd, and there was like a tongue of fire over his head. And I was thinking today, how can I light the roof up? And just to be in a room where there was fire like that. That day, something supernatural happened. It's not quite the same me trying to tell the story or us even reading the story, but those that were in the story, wow, did they have a story to tell? And they spoke in unknown tongues as the Holy Spirit came upon them. It says, everyone. Would you yell that word out for me? Everyone. Every one of them present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. The speaking in other languages and in tongues was given as an ability of the Holy Spirit. Yet every one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I remember when I first applied for my credentials as a pastor. That simply means your license to be a pastor. I had to fill in a questionnaire about what I believed about the baptism in the Holy Spirit because I belonged to a certain group of churches that were really narrow-minded in their expression around the Holy Spirit. And they believed that the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit was this, the speaking in other languages. And that unless you did that, you weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. And I challenged that in my application because I said, Jesus never ever spoke about speaking in tongues. He never spoke it about it. He never taught about it. He never even mentioned speaking in other tongues. What he mentioned was this, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And so I think the evidence of someone being filled with the Holy Spirit is, how's your light going? How's the shining going? How's the sharing going? How's the witness of your life to a world that's lost going? That to me is the fulfillment of what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is. But this here is very important to me. The speaking in tongues is very important. It's a consequence. And I need to one day unpack that for us as a church and teach about that, because there's a lot of confusion about actually speaking in tongues and the different types of tongues that there are in the New Testament. And some people put them all together and think they're one. They're not. There's different function for the gift of speaking in tongues. And this here, speaking in tongues when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Can I just say this? Don't despise this. Don't despise this, but seek after that as you receive the gift and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I think that's the plan and the purpose of heaven for us. And so the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is to fill us with the dunamis, explosive power of God, His presence, overpowering our being, coming into us, not only being with us, but into us. Here's the thought I have. Every New Testament church was Pentecostal. Every New Testament church. Because Pentecostal was not a denomination back then. Neither was Baptist. Neither was Anglican. Neither was Catholic. Neither was Presbyterian. Neither was Lutheran. Neither was whatever it is. There were no denominations. There was just the church. And the church was, every church was filled with the Holy Spirit. Because that's how God designed the church to be empowered, by the Holy Spirit. There was no other spirit. There was no other ideology. There was no other philosophy. There was no other teaching. There was no other truth. There was no other system. There was no other empowerment besides receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit upon your life to make you a powerful witness to be the church. That's why the church exists. That's how the church started. And Jesus said, you're going to have this empower with you forever. Forever. He's not going to cease to operate. You will have him forever. He will be with you until the end of time, this person of the Holy Spirit. So every church in the New Testament, as you read their teachings in the New Testament, believed in the experience of the fullness of God, the Holy Spirit, and his workings. That's why I want to embrace the person of the Holy Spirit in our contemporary church world and contemporary church life. There are some things that should never, ever change about who the church is and what the church does and how the church functions, and this is one of those things. We might get drums, we might get guitars, we might have interactive TVs and lights and all this sort of stuff, but what we don't change is that message. That message about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, one Savior, one way to heaven, one Lord, one baptism, and the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that never, ever, ever changes. And I don't care how educated they are. I don't care what theologian it is. I don't care what stream they come from. They are wrong if they change that, because that's the eternal truth of the Scriptures to the church. That's what it is. The Holy Spirit is our helper, our reminder, our teacher, our global positioning, our GPS, and he's also our empowerer. Now, Peter on the day of Pentecost said this to the crowds of people that gathered who were in amazement at what they had seen when they heard them speaking in tongues. He said this, each of you, this is about receiving the Holy Spirit. This is how you receive the Holy Spirit. This is how you set yourself up to receive what God's promised. He said, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promises to you and your children and those who are far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. So Peter says, before you receive the Holy Spirit's baptism, you first need to be a believer. You need to repent of your sins. And you need to receive Christ. He's not saying you'll automatically receive the Holy Spirit, but he's saying you will receive the Holy Spirit once you've done that. He highlights the repentance of sins needs to happen first. And so in my understanding, first there is a salvation, a redemption, and then secondly, there is an empowerment and empowerment. The key for me to receiving the Holy Spirit is to ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock to receive the Holy Spirit. This is what the disciples were doing for weeks. They were asking. They were praying, and they were seeking. That's why it doesn't always happen in a church service. I had a friend that was a youth pastor many years ago. He was actually a youth pastor that took over from a church where we were the youth pastors. And he came to me in frustration one day. And he said, I don't know what it is. He said, every time I preach about the Holy Spirit and I pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit, nobody receives the Holy Spirit. I said, how do you know? How do you know that? How do you know they haven't received the Holy Spirit? Because they didn't parrot a language? Because you didn't hear them speak in tongues? Did Jesus promise that, or did he promise you'd be filled with power? You don't know what you don't see. I'm never going to judge a book by its cover. I'm going to read the story. And there's a lot of people that sit in church today and think, well, I haven't spoken in tongues yet. That doesn't mean you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. That just means you haven't spoken in tongues yet. If you're hungry, if you're knocking, if you're seeking, if you're searching, it will happen. It could happen any moment. You could be driving your car down the freeway. Next minute, yabba dabba doo. You just start speaking in tongues. You might just sit bolt upright in bed one night and start speaking in tongues. You might get in the worst nightmare of your life and then all of a sudden start speaking in tongues, because when you're in the moment of transition and your life looks like hell, all of your belief about what you thought your traditions were around this go out the window. And you start talking to God in a language that he understands, that you have no idea what you're saying. So please don't make it all about speaking in tongues. I pray you do speak in tongues. Like Paul says, Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So don't ever judge me for what I say is what Paul's saying as he writes the scriptures about behaving yourself about speaking in tongues. He said, it's not all about that. It's about a changed life. It's about a changed life. It's about an empowered life. It's about an empowered church. I've been in tongue speaking churches that do nothing. And you know what that's good for? Nothing. I'd rather be in a practical church that is filled with the Holy Spirit and speaks in tongues. If you speak in tongues and do nothing, then that whole thing means nothing. When Jesus looked at the disciples and he wanted to build the church, he thought, I need to give them something, because I don't want them to do nothing. I want them to do something, and I want them to do it quickly, and I want them to do it bigger than they thought they could ever do it. Because I'm leaving and I'm going to surrender everything I've taught to these 12. You've got to be kidding me. What the heck? I need to give them something from heaven. I know what I'll do. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And so he sent the Holy Spirit. And in no time at all, 120 disciples and followers of Jesus became 3,000. Then it became 5,000. Then it became 10,000. They didn't know what to do with people. They were just flooding in everywhere, attracted to the light. I think what we need today, what I need today, what we all need today, what we must have today, what we must seek today, is more of the Holy Spirit. And not in a weird way, but in a real way. In a heart-adjusting way, in a life-changing way. In an empowerment way. And Jesus talked about this in a parable, in a very practical parable that he taught about the giving of the Holy Spirit. Let me race there because the band are up playing that Holy Spirit music. And so that's like the wind in the upper room. I've got the wind instruments behind me right here. And the fire. Who's the fire? Mia, you're the fire. You and the singers are the fire. The rest of you, you're wind. Luke 11. Here's the story. Jesus said to them, you know this parable. You don't need me to tell it, but I'm going to tell it. It says, I tell you, keep on asking and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open. Just keep doing it, Jesus said. Show me you're hungry. Show me you're hungry. Show me you're hungry. That's like, Mom. Kids asking, Mom, is there anything to eat? Husbands asking their wife, is there anything to eat? Just keep annoying them. They'll eventually do it. They'll get it. They'll find it. You'll get what you want if you keep looking, keep searching, if you're hungry. Jesus said, just keep doing it. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to some of those that are hungry enough and knock, the door will be opened. Everyone is the key word. Everyone is the key word. It's not about how good you think you are, how holy you think you are. You are not holy enough for the Holy Spirit. That's why He's called holy. You can't sanctify yourself. You can't make yourself good enough for this. All He wants is an empty vessel. And so He says, come on, keep, this is Jesus talking here. Then He says, you fathers, if your children ask for fish, do you give them a snake? Now, if they ask for fish or bread, if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Who'd do that to a kid? Of course not. So if you sinful people, if you humans is what it means, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? How much more? Everyone say, how much more? How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And so it's simply about asking. It's simply about seeking. It's simply about knocking. And so, church, I'm going to ask you to keep knocking. I'm going to ask you to keep seeking. I'm going to ask you to keep being hungry. I'm going to ask you to come to church and lift up your hands. I'm going to ask you to enter into praise moments. I'm going to ask you to respond, because you never know when God's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit and you're going to start to speak in other tongues. You never know when that's just going to work out of you. I think the whole thing with transition and this transitional moment for the disciples in asking themselves what now is this, is that Jesus was teaching them to transition into a new era with the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God. He was just teaching them to trust Him. I'm going away. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm sending another just like me. He's going to help you. He's going to teach you. He's going to remind you. He's going to help you navigate the way. And not only that, boys and girls, here's the best part. He is going to empower you. He's going to empower you so that you can be my witnesses throughout all the earth. I think the key issue for being receptive to the Holy Spirit is just trusting what you don't know and trusting God. And when you're in transition, sometimes you've got to do that. You can't see it. You can't see the answer. You can't see the leap. You can't see the end goal. You can't see the outcome that you need. But you trust. And you work towards a better outcome and a better future and a better result. Would you stand with me? So I thought about how I wanted to finish today. And I could have an altar call and yabba dabba do over a few people, but as you've heard throughout the sermon, I'm a little bit croaky in the throat. It's not COVID, don't worry. It's just your normal old thing. So I wanted to sing this song, and I wanted to give a moment. We're just going to turn the lights down nice and low. Going to sing, I trust in God, my Savior. And I'm going to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. If you're hungry today, I'm going to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask Him to move on your life, on your family, on the things that you need in your now what moment. Ask Him to come. Ask Him just to overflow and saturate and empower you, help you, be with you. You may want to come down the front. I would encourage you to do that and get get out of your seat and just take a step. There's something about being brave with that. There's something about being bold with that. There's something about going, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there. So if you want to come and stand at the front. If you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, why don't you come? If you're online in your lounge room right now, why don't you just stand? Why don't you stand and lift your hands as we sing? And come on. Let's ask Him to come. Here we go. Come, Holy Spirit.
I trust in God, my Savior, the one.
Savior, the one who
know, that song was written by the disciples in the gap, in the upper room, as they sat there, tried to work out what was going on. They probably penned these words well before Elevation ever did. And I don't know who was the leader of the band for the disciples on that day. I don't know who had the guitar. Like, I just picture them gathered in that room when the fire was there and the wind was there, with their hands outstretched, just going, I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought Him. And this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Your sons and your daughters, come on, they will receive. Your old men, we don't get left out. Old men, young men, your maidservants, everybody receiving the Holy Spirit. I sought Him.
I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I
He'll
sought
answer
the
you.
Lord,
if you seek
and He heard,
Him, He will
and
answer
he
you.
Answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why.
Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit. We thank You, God, for the presence of God that's here with us and for us and in us and working through us forever. And I pray that for everyone in the room that's hungry, seeking, wanting, asking, knocking, that they would have that prayer answered to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not for some, it's for all those that are afar off. And we refuse to allow tradition or a theology or a bad experience or someone else's opinion or perspective to culture us in regards to our form and thought about the function of the Holy Spirit. We want to be guided by the Word of God and the wisdom of heaven. And so we ask You, Holy Spirit, to fill people today. We ask You to fill people with Your power and Your fire, with Your life-giving spirit and energy, Your person. We ask You, Father, to release the gift of speaking in tongues to people. Lord, wherever it happens and whenever it happens, we're okay with that. We ask You to make people bold in their witness, in their living for You. We ask You to help us to be that church, to be that church. that holds the presence of the Holy Spirit with great value, great depth, with wisdom, with openness. We want to be Spirit-led in everything that we do. And we realize we cannot do this transition, we cannot do this journey, we cannot do what you've asked us to do without the person of the Holy Spirit. So we apologize and we repent on behalf of the church at large for the neglect, for the abuses, for the manipulations, for the irregularities of how we've represented the Holy Spirit. Help us to keep it real. It's my prayer. And where people in this room have had a bad experience, turn it around and open them up to the beautiful presence and empowerment of the precious Holy Spirit that's given as heaven's gift to every single believer. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you, church. Thank you so much for being with us today. I pray every day this week you just get more and more of the Holy Spirit in your circumstance and situation, your life and your world. God bless you. Have an amazing day. Hospitality is open right now. You can make your way and enjoy some coffee and some food with some friends. Our food outlet is open also if you want to make it available of that. Have an amazing week. God bless you. Thank you.